The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app.
Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. O Davinu Chai, O Davinu Chai. O Davinu, O Davinu, O Davinu Chai. O Davinu Chai, O Davinu.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about challah. Challah, of course, everybody knows, is that fancy Jewish egg twist bread that's eaten Friday night, but there's a whole lot more behind that. This week, there's going to be a big challah bake-off here in Royal Oak, and we're going to be talking about part of the organizers here locally with the great challah bake-off. We have lots of wonderful music, all new music this week. This is all stuff never heard before, all brand new stuff. The portion of the week is Lech Lecha, which is chapter 12. It's called a very happy portion, and we'll talk about why it's such a happy portion. We have a really good story at the end, one very, very thought-provoking story. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. In this week's terror news, 13 Israelis were stabbed in different incidences. 8 Palestinian terrorists were killed by security forces. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry finally warned Mahmoud Abbas not to incite violence. Up until now, the State Department had been critical of Israeli aggression and use of force as well. Idea of soldiers patrolling the border fence with Gaza came under terrorist gunfire not from far from the Israeli town of Kisufim. No one was wounded. About 150 Palestinian Arabs tried to set Joseph's tomb on fire. Idea of soldiers used rubber bullets and skunk gas to chase away the Palestinians who began throwing rocks and fire bombs at the soldiers. You remember about skunk gas? We reported about that about 2 years ago, that it's a mixture of like baking soda and ammonia, and it smells like somebody died, and they just put it in these little cannon things and just like goes up in the air and everybody just like runs. The soldiers put out the fire. There were no injuries. More than 30,000 Jews are expected to immigrate to Israel in 2015, a 16% increase from last year. The largest number of new immigrants came from France. Understandable. A Molotov cocktail was thrown at two Lubavitcher students in Manhattan. That's New York. Witnesses say a man in his late 20s threw the bomb and ran away. No one was hurt in the attack. Yeah, I can imagine the two students were pretty shook up. Police say the bomb was meant for an Israeli restaurant down the block from the students and not at the students themselves. Yemen's Jews were told by the government to convert to Islam or leave the country. A government spokesperson said the government could no longer assure the safety of the 80-member Jewish community. And finally, this one's kind of like a head-scratcher, but okay. The Mexican government bought an advanced spy drone from Israeli Aeronautics. The Dominator XP. How's that for a name? Everything's in a name. The Dominator XP. The Dominator XP is designed to provide intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance flight missions, making us wonder, who are the Mexicans spying on? And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hey, Shul Finman, here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have on the line Bashi Kagan, and Rabbi David Rosenthal, who are organizing the Great Challah Bake Off of 2015. That's coming up this Thursday. How are you both doing?
We're doing fantastic. Thanks for having us on the show. Okay. Really appreciate it.
Great. Okay, so now, there's this big thing called the Great Challah Bake Off. It's going to be happening this Thursday in Royal Oak in the farmer's market there. I know, and everybody knows what challah is. Challah is this twisted dough loaf bread that people buy, that Jews buy specifically for like Friday night. And it's got this shiny egg wash on it, and sometimes it has raisins, sometimes it has poppy seeds. So what's the big deal to make challah there, Rabbi Rosenthal? Give us the backstory on challah.
Okay, fantastic. So let's take a step back in time to thousands of years ago when the Jews are wandering in the desert. Now, as some of you listeners may know, there's not exactly a lot of food found in the desert. So God, in his miraculous ways, showered them down with manna from heaven. Now, that happened every day of the week, except for the Holy Sabbath. On Shabbat, God said there will be no manna out in the field. Rather, on Friday, there's going to be a double portion that's going to land on your doorstep. One will be for Friday, and one will be for Saturday, for Shabbat. And it's that double portion of manna falling from heaven that's the reasoning behind us every week celebrating the Shabbat with the challah bread that we have on our tables. So not only is it representative of the food that we eat, but it's also got a spiritual component to it, knowing that obviously the miracles that God does aren't just physical miracles, they're also spiritual miracles, and it has this double component to it.
Okay, so we're eating this stuff to remind us that God took care of us in the desert for 40 years. Don't we do that on Sukkot? We just got through with Sukkot and remembering in the desert, Rabbi Rosenthal.
That's 100% correct. We do that Sukkot. We do that on Pesach, Passover. We do that on Shavuot. We do that pretty much every single opportunity we get to remember what happened in the desert, because it was quite a monumentous occasion, having God come down, reveal himself to us face-to-face, so to speak, is something you don't want to forget. The Jewish people are almost built to remember that monumentous event. So every Friday night, we make Kiddush, and in the sanctification of the wine, we also mention the fact that God took us out of Egypt. In our prayers, daily prayers, we have again mentioning leaving of Egypt. This event was not one to be forgotten. So almost every action within Judaism, you can find a tie-in to our time back then in the desert, our time of getting closer to God. So that's it's true. It was on Sukkot, and it's also every Friday night.
Okay, fair enough. Were the Jews in the desert eating twisted loaves of manna on Friday night?
Great question. The manna that fell down was quite a unique physical manifestation of food, in that it could really take any taste that you wanted it to take. You know, can you imagine eating the same food for 40 years? And not, you know, becoming utterly sick of it. And yet, you know, this was the food that they ate in the desert. It was. I don't want to say it was magical in its properties, but it had the ability to taste like whatever you wanted to. So the Jews really manufactured it in whichever way they wanted to. They baked it, they boiled it, they had it raw, whatever they wanted to have it, and it could taste like whatever they wanted to taste. So it wasn't necessarily the same challah dough that we have today. There are spiritual reasons behind it, Kabbalistic reasons behind the form that we take today. But that wasn't necessarily how they ate it in the desert.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so what the word challah, what does it mean? Where does it come from?
The word challah actually comes from a separate commandment in the Torah, in the Bible, where whenever we make a certain amount of dough to bake, we separate a special portion off for the priestly tribe, for the Kohanim. It was a special gift that was given to them. They had no land of their own. They were purely, they subsided off of the gifts from the Jewish people. And so whenever we made our bread, we put aside a special portion called the challah, and that was given as a special blessing to be made, and that was given to the Kohens, to the priests serving in the temple. So too, even today, there's a special commandment. When you make a certain amount, it's about 5 pounds of challah dough. If you make 5 pounds of dough, you separate a special portion off. And although we don't give it to the Kohens today, we don't give it to the priests today, we do separate it off specially as a remembrance of that which was done during the temple times.
Okay, so I get it. So usually women would bake bread. Baking bread is a really involved task. And so most likely they baked a week's worth of bread. And since they wanted to have the best stuff on Friday night, they made the best loaf. So they would take the offering to the priest, to the Kohanim, from the best loaf. And that was therefore then called the challah dough, the challah loaf. And hence, the bread that was made from it was referred to as the challah. Is that correct?
That's 100% correct.
Cool. Awesome. So now we know. Okay. So now, Bashi, there's this is not just unique to Detroit, this big challah bake. I've seen in various websites that there are challah bakes going on all over the place, and they're organized by, it's ubiquitous. It's organized by everybody. Chabad in northern Los Angeles County, my daughter, who's a school teacher over there, told me they had 2,000 women in Malibu doing this challah thing. So what's this all about? Why are women, I mean, if I want to bake challah, if I want to go to the bakery and buy a challah, what's this whole big thing with getting people together to bake challah together?
If I could take a step back for 1 minute and talk about the greater weekend that's going on around the same time.
Okay.
There's this concept called the Shabbat Project, or the Shabbos Project. It started 3 years ago in South Africa. And the idea was to unite the Jewish people. You know, usually we're only united by an outside enemy. You know, what's happening in Israel now, the Jews come together. But it'd be nice for a change to unite around something not from the outside, something from the inside. And so the chief rabbi of South Africa decided, you know, let's get together around Shabbat, the ancient tradition of Shabbat, that we disconnect from all of our technologies, we take a day off from, you know, our work, and we reconnect with the ones that we love, with God, with our community, with our family. And so his endeavor in South Africa was so successful, the next year, in year number two, they took it worldwide. And there were over 1 million Jews that were connecting together. They were taking a day to connect to the Jewish people as a whole. And that was last year, 1 million Jews to go together for the Shabbat Project. This year, they're really aiming to even better that number, to reach more communities, to have more people connecting around this one Shabbat around the world. Next Shabbat, the Jewish people are connecting around the Shabbat Project. Hundreds of cities, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Jews are going to be connecting. And part of the experience is all the things that surround Shabbat. So, of course, you have challah for Friday night. How do you have challah? You obviously have to prepare the challah beforehand, hence the great big challah bake. Thousands of women around the world are unifying around this endeavor. Likewise, after Shabbat, there will be a Havdalah ceremonies, which is a ceremony marking the delineation between Shabbat, the holy day of Shabbat, and the regular weekday. So there's a lot of things going on. The challah bake, the great big challah bake here in Detroit, is happening next Thursday night. We're hoping to have over 500 women, hopefully even 1,000 women, getting together for an amazing event at the Royal Oak Farmers Market, and that's going to be at 7 p.m. next Thursday night. At the same day, around the world, women are going to be baking in Los Angeles, in Melbourne. I come from Sydney, my hometown in Australia. So women around the world are going to be all joining together for the Great Big Challah Bake. And you can sign up online at eventbrite.com. You can find our event there. And the ShabbosProject.org will also get you to the same website. So there's lots of ways to connect. And you can also show up on the night, 7 p.m. next Thursday night, at the Royal Oak Farmers Market.
Okay. Now, so that's, if you're expecting like 1,000 people, that's a lot of dough. So tell us, how is it going to work? I mean, are we going to be like mixing flour and yeast and et cetera, at the farmers market?
First of all, we have a big thanks to Kroger's for giving all of the ingredients, and also to partners in Torah for joining with us in making this event happen. Basically, everyone there is going to have their own bowl, their own ingredients. My wife happens to be leading the event. She'll be walking everyone through the making of the dough there, then also the plating of the dough, and finally you'll take the dough home in your own separate container to bake in your own ovens.
Okay. Now, you mentioned before, I don't know if we're going to actually get Bashi into this conversation or not, but you mentioned before about the shape of the challah, and like for Rosh Hashanah, for example, specifically, we're told that our bread should be round shaped, like to signify the year, which is a big circle that goes from the beginning to the end. And people are really up on having like a twisted loaf on Friday night. What's the significance behind all that? Why do we care about the shape? I mean, just as long as it goes in my mouth and it tastes good, right?
That's a great question. Everything that we do within the Jewish religion has significance and depth to it. Dipping apples in honey. You know, we think to ourselves, you know, it looks a little bit kitschy. It looks a little bit like a little bit of a, you know, a quaint little custom, but there's great depth to almost every single thing that we do. So, for example, the round challah that we have over Rosh Hashanah, signifying the unity, the wholeness of the year. We want God to grant us a whole round year full all the way to the edges. When we have the challah that we have, the twisted dough, one of the ideas that I've heard spoken over was each one of the singular pieces that goes into that braid is representing a unique tribe, a unique aspect within the Jewish people. And we have it together, we twist it all together into one giant piece of bread in order to signify the unity within the Jewish people. You know, we have, like I mentioned, unfortunately the Jewish people are not known for their unity, but Shabbat is the day when we all come together. Definitely there's no experience like this next Shabbat where you can connect and feel connected to so many millions of Jews around the world that are all doing the same thing at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Now, in Detroit, there have been challah bakes where women have gotten together, not on such a grand scale of expecting between 500 and 1,000. My wife went to a couple where they had like between 30 and 50. The facilitator who was instructing people how to do the preparation for the challah, actually, as he was walking them through it, mentioned some deeper insights into each of the ingredients, the water, the sugar, the honey, the flour, et cetera, et cetera. Are you up on that? Could you give us some of those insights as to the ingredients behind challah dough?
I wish my wife was here, because she's actually got the whole script. She's heard it dozens of times and has said it herself dozens of times. I myself have actually never been to a challah bake. I don't know if you can believe it, but I'm not the baker in my family.
Uh-huh.
Having said that, you know, every ingredient, like you mentioned, for example, eggs is linked to fertility, and you know, the sugar is that we should have a week full of blessing and sweetness amongst our family. Every aspect of it, I wish I could give you a deeper and more well spoken answer, but unfortunately, that's not my forte.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so now let's go. If people want to get involved with this, can we have all the details, please, David Rosenthal?
Certainly, certainly. So, once again, the Thursday night this coming week, Thursday the 22nd of October, is going to be the Great Big Challah Bake. That's going to be at the Royal Oak Farmers Market, which is in Royal Oak. It's 7 p.m. Is when it begins. If you want to register beforehand, which is ideal, you want to go to bakechallah.eventbrite.com, and you can sign up there. That's bakechallah.eventbrite.com. Or you can go onto the shabbosproject.org, and eventually, if you click on Michigan, it'll get you there as well. So signing up online is ideal. If you want to call, there's a number to call here as well. I don't know if your listeners want to take it down, but it's 248-327-3579. That's 248-327-3579. There obviously is a cost per person. It's $18 per person, $40 per family, or $180 for a table of 10. And it's this coming Thursday night. Also, in addition, our local branch here has got Rabbi Emmy Melech Goldberg coming in to speak here at Aish for the Shabbos Project itself. If anyone's interested in joining us to hear him, he's going to be speaking both Friday night and Shabbat day at Aish on Coolidge and Lincoln.
Okay, that's cool. So again, so it's the Great Challah Bake. This is coming at the Royal Oak Farmers Market, which is just east of Maine on 11 Mile in Royal Oak. For information, call the organizers at 248-327-3579, or you can go online to the great challah. What was it again? Challah
bake
challah. bakechallah.eventbrite.com. Okay, Rabbi David Rosenthal, I want to thank you so much and keep us apprised.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We're
really appreciate your time today. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much for coming on. We are going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. What we got coming up? This is David Gabay and a new song, All Hashem Does Is Good.
Kol kol ma she'oseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKol le'tova Kol kol ma she'noten HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKol matana Kol kol ma she'koreh Anachnu mekablim be'emunah Kol kol ma she'over Anachnu mevarchim al tov ve'al ra Kol ma de'avid rachmana Letav avid, letav, letav avid Kol ma de'avid rachmana Hakol kol letova
Oh, assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. The next sonnet we have coming up, it's a Jewish standard, Shein V'Dilavana, which is "You're Beautiful Like the Moon." The group, though, that's doing it, it's Lippa Schmelzer, who's no stranger to the Jewish Hour, but he's doing it together. Somewhere he located a group called the Holocaust Survivor Band, which is a group of, I would say, the youngest person has to be an octogenarian, and they, as part of their, like, just dealing with life, have dedicated themselves to performing music. And it's really been an amazing thing that they've come up with. So, for your listening pleasure, this is Lippa and the Holocaust Survivor Band doing Shein V'Dilavana.
I am the singer. I'm late a little bit. I have to be in there.
No, you're not. The singer's already inside.
Listen, go inside. Look at my picture. I am the singer.
Okay, come on in.
Someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective.
Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Herschel Vinner, you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Last week, we had on Melissa Hacker and Stephen Goldman from the Kinder Transport and Holocaust Memorial, respectively, talking about the Kinder Transport Convention, which was in Detroit last week. As it so happened, I have a cousin who married off a daughter last Sunday. And so there I was, bleary-eyed, showing up for the 6 a.m. flight. This is a wonderful thing that they have now. It's like the plane takes off at 6 a.m., which means you have to be at the airport at 5 a.m., which means I have to wake up at 4 a.m. in order to get into the car so I can get it parked and get over to the gate by 5. Okay, so it's 4 a.m., so I'm just like, and of course, I'm not going to sleep before my regular time because I'm not tired. So, but anyway, so I get into my seat, and lo and behold, sitting next to me is a gentleman, and he's got some sort of like a dossier, a file type thing, with the Holocaust Memorial logo on it with the big words Kinder Transport on it. So I say to him, "Oh, were you participant in the Kinder Transport Conference?" And he said, "Well, yes, I was." And I said, "But it's still going on. I mean, a major part of it was still on Sunday. And it wasn't breaking up until like late Sunday afternoon." And he said, "Well, I was last night's entertainment." And I said, "Oh, that's pretty interesting that they brought somebody in." He was speaking with an obviously English accent. And I said, "They brought you in all the way from England?" I mean, a lot of the Kinder Transport people were in from England. Yeah, they lived in England. The transport was to England. So I thought that was pretty amazing. He said, "No, it happened to be that he was in New York doing a series of concerts, and he volunteered to do this for the Kinder Transport. And actually, he wrote a song about the Kinder Transport as his parents had been the host to a couple of kids from the Kinder Transport." We had a whole talk. We talked basically the whole time about the whole genre, Kinder Transport, and the conference, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I wanted to play the song, The Kinder Transport, but it hasn't been recorded yet. So instead, he's written many songs. Some of them are somewhat irreverent, but that's fine. I'm not a reverend anyway. I'm a rabbi. But we are within a month or so of Hanukkah. So it's never too early, I guess. Sukkah's already out of the way. And if you ask any rabbi, "What's the most important holiday on the Jewish calendar, Rabbi?" they'll tell you the next one coming up. I'm already working on Hanukkah. So this song is called The Chanukiah, which means the Hanukkah candelabra. And this is Daniel Kaner.
This Hanukkah that I light, why do I choose to do it so? And though I struggle with the prayers and the blessings that are passed on down from so long ago, it's who I am, that's what I'm like. With this Hanukkah that I light, I am connecting with the past. In the candle flames, I see a list of names. They flicker and they falter and they pass, as I remember them tonight. With this Hanukkah that I light, still be here after I am gone, when my name too is etched in stone. Have no fear, says this Hanukkah. This Hanukkah I will light the way it always has been done. There was a battle then, they rebuilt Jerusalem, and a day's supply of oil burned all week long. Well, that's the story we recite. Soldiers standing in a row. Let's not be cynical, it's still a miracle that I am here to see them glow. These colored candles burn so bright in this Hanukkah that I light.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Eric Schulzman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week's Torah portion that we'll be reading in the synagogue this Saturday is the portion of Lech Lecha, begins in Genesis 12. The Lubavitcher Rebbe commented that telling a story of his great-great-great-grandfather, known as the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, that who came out of his office one day, and there were a group of his students, his Hasidim, sitting there, and he said, Jews are just not keeping up. We medaf leben mit der Zeit. You have to live with the times. And he went back into his office. This is very perplexing because, I mean, to say you got to keep up with the times with fashion, what? There's a, you know, the genre of Jewish light bulb jokes. How many blanks does it take to change a light bulb? Everybody knows this. They were very popular about 12, 15 years ago. So the question is asked, how many Orthodox rabbis does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer, change. So as for this idea of like suddenly this rabbi, this illustrious rabbi, coming out and proclaiming Jews have to keep up with the times was very perplexing. The rabbi's younger brother explained what his older brother meant was not we're talking about the New York Times when it's just keeping up with the times, or the London Times, or the Moscow Times. He's talking about the portion of the week, and that not that we should learn the portion of the week, we should live the portion of the week. And it qualifies, it ever qualifies. The first portion of the week was Bereshis, which was 2 weeks ago. And that started out okay. We got creation going on. And then we have the creation of man. Then it's things kind of like drop off the table over there, the sin of the goal of the tree of knowledge and Cain and Abel. And then Enosh is born, and it says that Enosh, the generation of Enosh, there's an introduction of idolatry and the portion of ends, that Noah is born and God's sorry he created the world to begin with. And thus the beginning of creation 1.0 is ended, and 2.0 starts last week with a portion of Noah, which the portion of Noah is all about death and destruction, but it ends on a high note, the birth of Abraham. This week's portion, the portion of Lech Lecha, is all about the patriarch Abraham and all the wonderful things that God was able to do for him, and in promising, because of all the things that Abraham did for God, that the Jews get to be his progeny, and his children get to be the Jewish people. Because up until Abraham, it says that the world was created for the Jewish people, but until that time, it hadn't been decided, well, who the Jewish people were going to be, until Abraham, with his self-sacrifice and dedication to the cause of monotheism, its promulgation, merited that his children should be the Jewish people. The fifth Lubavitch Rebbe, Shalom Dovber, the Rashab of Lubavitch, comments on this word, the name of the portion, which is Lech Lecha. Lech means go. Lecha means for yourself. It would make sense if the verse would have said, Lech el ha'aretz asher arecha, go to the land that I'm going to show you. But it says, go for yourself to the land that I'm going to show you. So the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe comments that what Abraham was beginning to do is referred to in the text as Avodas Habirurim, purifying the world, making the world a better place. To put it succinctly, a perfect God made an imperfect world with imperfect people, instructing them to perfect them both. Hence the idea that Adam was placed in the garden to work it. If there was anything needed to be done, the Garden of Eden was a perfect place, not, but this idea of finding the godliness within everything. Because since it is, you have to say, everything comes from God. Therefore, even inanimate, mundane objects have within them a spark of godliness. In that same volume that the Lubavitcher Rebbe writes about the portion of the week, he comments on the idea of reciting things by heart as you're traveling around, not to waste time. Just because you happen to be walking in the street on a subway, I should say Halavai, it should only be that Detroit should have a subway, right? Or driving in the car. You have this opportunity, your brain, because listen, your brain's going to be doing whatever it's going to be doing. So rather than having it on idle and thinking about who knows what, a person should learn things by heart, and that way they can focus on more spiritual things, even as they're doing something inconsequential as walking down the street. And the Rebbe comments that when a person walks down the street and is not reciting and reviewing their studies, it says the very rocks call out and say, Bullock, that is some sort of a Russian expression for like, you boorish individual, you're not learning. What makes you better than me? Because rocks don't learn. They're the IQ of a rock. You say the guy's got a head like a brick, right? You know what that means. So we are supposed to take every opportunity that we have to make the world a better place. So that means, how much? Being 24/7, even when you're asleep, You really, if the person goes to sleep properly, they should, even while they're sleeping, be making the world a better place. I had a rabbi who used to tell me that if you go to sleep like a horse, you're going to wake up like a horse. So there's a preparation involved, and even going to sleep to think over one's day and to plan one's day the next day and to think, what are my shortcomings from this day and how can I improve on them tomorrow? These are things that a person does, and then when they go to sleep, it says, if you go to sleep like a mensch. Everybody knows what the word mensch means, right? Ben, you know what the word mensch means? No, Ben doesn't know the word mensch, okay? You're not from New York. Okay, everybody in New York, 9 million New Yorkers know what the word mensch means. Even the baristas and the bodegas, they know what mensch means. Mensch means an honorable person who's doing the right thing. That's a mensch. You know, it's like one of the biggest compliments you could pay somebody in Yiddish. It's like, oh, that person's a real mensch. So there's a certain menschlichkeit would be the word, a certain like refinement, gentility, and a paying attention to ideas that we have that started with Abraham, because God told him, lech, go. But God said, you're not doing it for me. Lecha, you're doing it for yourself, because every improvement that we make within ourselves and every improvement that we make on the world means we're living in an improved world. You could ask the question, why should I bother cleaning my house? Answer, because then you're living in a clean house. Hello? So this is what we're in charge with. Abraham and his children, his progeny, were given the main job. But the world at large, mankind, humankind, every time I write the word mankind now, in my word processing program. So it always gets a little red underline. And I click on it and say, what's wrong with the way I spelled mankind? And what is the suggestion that comes up? Humankind. Okay, so whatever it happens to be, every person who is inhaling and exhaling at around 20 beats a minute, 20 times a minute, has an obligation that when they're, as the song we just sang, as their name is etched in stone, whenever that happens, have to ensure that the world is indeed a better place, a more godly place, a more perfected place, and that they are more perfected than the day that they were born. Because then it's for yourself. So you could say, yeah, is it selfish? Yeah, good. But this is an instance where selfish is fine. Do something good for yourself so that you and the world benefit. We are going to take a quick commercial break for the Hasidic story coming back after this moment. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herr Schulfenman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Would you like to get in touch with me? The easiest way is to go to rabbifinman.com. There, right on the homepage, is Contact Me. I hope at this point that my webmaster has finally taken down the invitation to come to the Sukkah party, because Sukkot is over 2 weeks ago. But I'm not in charge of the technical aspect of the website, just its content. And hopefully there'll be improvements coming, and we're hoping big things for this coming year with rabbifinman.com. But got a question, comment, query, criticism of the show, all good. Send it off. Go to rabbifinman.com. And contact me. Goes right to my inbox. I'll contact you right to your inbox. We'll strike up a conversation. And who knows what'll happen after that? Hopefully the world will be a better place because of it. You'll also find classes that I do, which are recorded and put up to the web. These are not fluff. These classes are heavy stuff, presented in such a way that if you've never learned anything like this before, you're still going to get it. It's not. I could say it's harder than rocket science, but People have told me I've done a good job. You'll also have the e-parsha, which is a missive that I send out every week. You can see this couple last week's e-parshas and sign up that you get the HTML version sent to your house because my website is so 2009. We have to update that. We know. But it'll hopefully happen this year. And, of course, there's the donations page. I didn't talk about it really so much the last 2 weeks because we didn't have a lot of time. We were running out of time. This week I have some time. We haven't paid September yet. We need your help. Where are we? Almost the end of October at this point. The people here at Salem Communication, yes, very patient people. They have let me go as far as 3 months. And I feel really terrible. I get nervous. Am I going to be able to sleep at night? Because... can I pay the piper? You got to pay to play, as they say. So radio is free. You're listening to this. No one's charging you to listen to it. At this end, the charges are pretty steep. So we need you to help come through. The Jewish Hour is sponsored by commercial sponsors. Yes, that pays for part of it. The vast majority come from listeners like you. The Jewish Hour is a project of a 501(c) corporation. We do lots of other things around the city, so it's all good. It's all helping out. These are all wonderful things that are hopefully making the world a better place, making the world safe for democracy and mankind. We are recognized by the state, the IRS, by the federal government as a 501(c) corporation, and therefore your donations are tax deductible. The Almighty recognizes the Jewish Hour as a viable charity. It's us, a recipient of your tzedakah, of your charity. So you get good credit in the eyes of the Almighty for donating. So go to RabbiFinneman.com, go to the donations page, click a number, whatever number it happens to be. If you don't like any of those numbers, there's an infinite number of numbers you can enter into. Enter your number here. You know, if you want to give something random, like 152, you know, that's fine. You know, just make up a number. It's good. Don't like doing internet, credit cards, theft, and all that kind of stuff that happens, and, you know, accounts getting hacked. I understand. You'd rather mail it? Fine. We've been doing that. We did that before we had a website. We've been doing it for 19 years. You could send your donation to, actually 20 years now coming up, send your donation of any amount to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. And your donations will be acknowledged and are appreciated, greatly accepted, and will keep Detroit, Michigan's only Jewish radio program, which has been on air for almost 20 years now, on the air in perpetuity. Okay, story time. Enough from bothering you people. As I tell, if people would just get in a regular habit of doing this, and everybody listening would give $5 a month, then I wouldn't have to, in what I consider in my mind, waste time in these airways with these pledges. So if you're going to donate, even if it's as little as $5 a month, you want to give more, that's fine. There are people right now, I'm not telling you, those people who are giving 18s and 20s and 50s every month, don't stick it down, keep your level at yourself. But if all the people that were listening were giving $5 a month, then... which is only $60 a year, then, which comes out to 30 cents a day, okay? Or if you like, that comes out to a dollar a show. So we wouldn't have to waste time talking about giving money. So get into giving. So anyway, so what's the deal here? Here's the story. This one actually is the expression in Aramaic, "Bididi have uvda." This one happened to me. Many years ago, when Borman Hall was still in business, Borman Hall was the Jewish nursing home located at 7 Mile in Evergreen in Detroit. So on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the first day of the holiday, I would walk to Providence Hospital, which is close to my home. The second day, it was really felt unnecessary. The first year I tried going back the second day and saying, hi, I'm here to blow shofar for you again. And mostly I got was, Rabbi, I heard that lat yesterday. I don't need to hear it again. So I would walk the second day to Borman Hall, which is pretty far from my house. And then someone would pick me up after the holiday was over. So I'd go Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, walk there. So it happened one year that I came in and there was a gentleman there. He's wearing black pants, a white shirt, he's wearing a yarmulke covering on his head. And I handed him the lulav and the esrog to say the blessing. And he said the blessing, he knew it by heart. And I said, okay, you didn't do it yesterday. There's the blessing that you're supposed to say, thanking God for bringing me to this day. So he said, Rabbi, you're only supposed to say it once a day. I said it in the morning already. So I asked him, why did you say it this morning already? You didn't have a lulav and esrog with you. And he said, Rabbi, I'm 93 years old. Every day I wake up, I say, thank God for bringing me to this day. He says to me, Rabbi, are you doing something wrong? Am I doing something wrong? I said, absolutely not. Keep doing it. Do it till you're 120. That's going to do it for the show. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week, and we hope to see you back again next week. Take care.